Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is Dr. Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table, we have Mary Ann Williams, also known around here at the table as Mama. Mama, how are you this evening?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Good evening, everyone. Should I say my PRF family? Glad to be with you this evening. I'm excited about being on the show again, as always. And so I'm thankful for all of you who have taken out the time to come to hear us. And we really appreciate your calling in. So I'm believing that we're all going to enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. It's always a joy to have Mama sitting here at the table with us. Well, let me tell you, everybody, we are dealing with the finale. This is the last key we've been dealing with over this month of March 2016, this series, which is Your Keys to Wealth. And if you have been with us, the first week we dealt with the covenant, and we said that the covenant and being in covenant relationship as a community and understanding what the covenant was all about, that is the first key to wealth. And then we moved in Adia. Took us on into the next week, and in that next series, we dealt with commitment. And then after that, we dealt with compliance or obedience. We said, look, you cannot think that you're not going to be compliant or be obedient to what God has said, especially as it relates to how you get and how you maintain your wealth. God's just not going to have it. He may allow it to happen, but that's not how we've been seeing it as we've been dealing with this scripture. And so now, what have we been dealing with, or what are we dealing with tonight? Tonight we're dealing with this fifth key. And one thing about these different keys that we have been uplifting to everybody over these last 4 weeks is that you hold the keys. It is not like God has hidden these keys from any of us. Sometimes you just have to look for them. You know, it kind of reminds me of what happened in the book of Luke chapter 14, there was a woman that was looking for a coin. She had it. She knew where it was, but somehow it became misplaced. And I think that is something that has just happened within our various contexts of religion and church, is that some of these things that God has communicated that we have read to you, they have just been misplaced. And so now we're saying, look, we have seen the keys. We have grabbed a hold to the keys, and we want to make sure other people know where these keys are. And so as we get with this finale, we want to just allow everybody to jump into this conversation. If you're listening online, you can go to our Facebook page and post comments there. If you are listening online and you want to join into the conversation, just call in to the call-in number, which is 347-215-7934. And just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation as we see you light up on the switchboard. So here's where we are. When we first started this journey, we started from one focal scripture. And this scripture has continued with us throughout everything that we've been talking about. And what we came to you with was Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Real simple scripture. Remember the Lord, your God. He's the one that gives you the power to be successful. And we talked about how that is a scripture that is often taken out of context because the whole verse is usually not brought about. The rest of the verse says, in order for you to fulfill the covenant that he confirmed with your ancestors by an oath. And so I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you're talking about godly wealth, we're not talking about just riches. We're talking about godly wealth. Then you have to understand that if God is the one that's going to give you wealth, it's not for you to be by yourself. It's not for you to hoard on to whatever God has allowed you to have to call yourself wealthy. There has to be purpose for it. And the purpose that we've already seen clearly is that it's in order for him to fulfill the covenant that he made, that he confirmed with your ancestors by an oath. So if I call myself the seed of Abraham, if I call myself from the lineage of the children of Israel, if I believe that, then I'm not going to just jump over to the salvation piece saying, you know what, all that God has swore and promised to my ancestors, I'll forget about that. No, I want that wealth. But here's the thing. If we're going to talk about wealth, you need to talk about people that talk about wealth with people who understand it, not just rich folk.
Amen.
See, we made it really clear in the first show for this month. And we said, look, there's a difference between riches and wealth. And I know when you go and look in the dictionary, I know when you go and look in your concordance, you see those terms synonymous, but not in every context. So you have to go a little bit deeper if you want to get the context. So that's one of the things that we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, if you will, so that we can help you to understand what this final key is. And by the end of tonight's show, you will understand that there is a final key. So let me start off with this. The Bible makes a clear distinction between riches, and at the beginning I gave you a general definition, but what about the biblical definition? When you look at the biblical definition, let me just tell you, I found out so much just researching this because I wanted to make sure that I was giving not good advice, but really rooted and grounded in where we're going to bring to you tonight. When you look up, if you go to your concordance, right, and you look up rich or richer or riches, the overall term, just the overall term, has almost 200 references to rich, richer, or riches. That's a lot. It's like 180 overall that focus on riches or that is mentioned. But Jesus, his focus with dealing with riches really came out of two books, Luke and Mark. But when you go and you start looking at wealth, oh, there's a bunch of scriptures that deal with wealth. And what you're going to find, if you read, you'll find that there are several scriptures that says riches and wealth, riches and wealth. So here's my question. If riches and wealth are the same thing, then why in the world is it broken out in the Bible? Does it make sense? And it cannot be so. So what I'm suggesting to you is look at all the times in the Bible where it says riches and wealth, riches and wealth, riches and wealth, and tell me if they mean the same thing. Again, it's clear that it does not. Now, when I look in the book of Deuteronomy, for example, and I look at the context of where in verse 18, chapter 8, and the Lord, remember the Lord, your God, he's the one who gives you the power to get wealth. That word is also meaning strength and skill and valor. Whoa, what are you talking about? Well, he's giving you the ability to gain it, so we have the strength to gain wealth. We have the skills already within us. Most of us probably already have the skills that we need to become wealthy. But then when I look at riches, you know what riches also means? Oppression, tyranny, extortion. So what I'm seeing is I'm seeing something different. You can't have strength and skill and valor and also have oppression, tyranny, and extortion. those two things don't match. Those two things don't even sound synonymous. So why not find out what is it that I need to be focused on if I'm going to really be focused on this thing of riches or focusing on this thing of wealth? Jesus didn't mention wealth in the Gospels. There's not one reference to where Jesus mentioned wealth in the Gospels. But he did have a few illustrations that talked about riches. And so if I'm going to look at the illustrations about riches, then maybe I'll go to Luke 16. Some of you may have heard about the rich man and Lazarus, right? Going, looking at like verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. But at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered up with sores. And Lazarus laid there longing for scraps from the rich man's table. The dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died, and he was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died, and he was buried too, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the finger in the water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to his son, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you have had everything you wanted." Listen to this. Abraham said to him, "Son, you remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he's here being comforted, and you're down there in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us." See, there is a very big divide between riches and wealth. Forget between the poorest, the people who are living in poverty, and those who are or who have money. No, even between the rich and the wealthy, there's a distinguishing. No one can cross over to you from here. Now think about this. Nobody can cross over to you from here, and nobody can cross, none of us can cross over to where you are from there. Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send to him my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment." When I look at this and I think about this thing, I say, you know what? There may not be a time where you have another chance. If God has allowed you the ability, if he has given you the ability, if he's given you the possessions, resources, and finances to be wealthy, every day is a new day. So it's not good to say, you know what, as long as I'm paying my tithes, you know I'm saying that, but you know how I feel about that. As long as I'm paying my tithes, I'm good. No, what about the other folks? This whole conversation is because Lazarus had, because they were licking the sores of the man. What? But let me watch this. Here's the reply. The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone arises from the dead." We know that Christ rose from the dead, so sometimes it don't matter what Christ has to say about this matter, dealing with riches or wealth. At the end of the day, some folks just going to do what they want to do with the money, with their possessions, with their resources, with their finances. And you know what? I ain't got nothing to do with that. At the end of the day, you do what you're going to do, but you're going to have to be the one to answer for it.
Amen.
I love the fact that Jesus focuses on the rich. He don't focus on the wealthy. And I thought about this thing. Why in the world would Jesus not even focus on the wealthy? Because wealthy people know how to act. Rich folks are ones that act a fool. Remember, riches is nothing but an abundance of stuff. It can be abundance of possessions. It can be abundance of finances or money. But wealthy folks, You know, let me tell you, let me give you a distinction about wealthy and rich. Rich people scream. Wealthy people whisper. Take that one to the bank.
That's good.
Rich people scream. Wealthy people whisper. I know somebody right now that makes over $100,000 easy, is a millionaire, was at dinner with him the other night. You would never know that this person is a millionaire because this person doesn't have to drive around in a Bentley. This person doesn't have to drive around in the finest of cars. This person lives a modest lifestyle, but you know what this person does? Does what they want to do and what they love doing. They still work, and they're 70-plus years old right now. But they love doing what they're doing. But you would never know. Person ain't brought a brand-new car. The car that they drive is a 99. What? A wealthy person driving a 1999? I think it's like a 99 or maybe a 2003. Is old compared to car years. So the question is, why is God going to give you wealth for you to just go ahead and blow it? Y'all know where I'm coming from. Christ said, I came to give life and give life more abundantly. So since he came to give life more abundantly, what I'm proposing to y'all who are listening, why don't you just grab a hold to that? What is it? Ask the question. What is it that you need to ask God for to reveal to you so that you can live the abundant life? We just finished up one of a PRF session on will you or will you not. Just finished it up before coming on the air. Came to give life and give life more abundantly. But he's not going to force anybody that was sitting there in this group. In this cohort, he's not going to force anybody to do anything more than what they're willing to do. So if there's certain things that you need to have in place, go ahead and do those things. Get those things in order. Let me tell you, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, I love this. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you to spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. How are you sleeping? Are you only getting 3 hours of sleep because you work in 2 and 3 jobs? Not for a purpose, but because you put yourself in debt. Because you didn't have certain things in place. See, sometimes people can see how other folks are just grinding, grinding, grinding. And they may think that they're working towards a dream of wealth. But is it making you happy? See, if what I'm doing doesn't, you know, I can have joy, but I just don't want joy. I want joy. I think that somebody said love and happiness. I want joy and happiness. I don't just want to have joy in this serving that I do. I want to have happiness as well. Even if you look in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, 25, verse 14 to 30, And I love it. It's the story of the parable of the three men with the talents. And listen, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his wealth to them while he was gone. This is something in a stewardship lesson. Now, some of you may know the story, but I'll just give you a little bit. I don't have to read all of it tonight. But he gave five bags of silver or five talents to one. He gave two to another and one to the last. The one who had five invested the money and he earned five. The one who had two invested in the and he earned two. But the one who had one, they put it in a hole, hid it. And then there was an accountability that came back. The master came back, the one who gave the wealth. And he said, tell me what you did with it. See, when you think about it, now this is Christ giving this parable. The person who has the wealth is the only one that can give the wealth. Mama, I don't know if you heard me.
Yeah.
The person who has the wealth is the only one who can give the wealth. So
yes.
be it God is the one who owns everything, and he's the one who gives us the ability to gain wealth. You have to know that once he gives you wealth, my brothers and my sisters, you're going to have to be accountable for the wealth that he's given you. And the greatest thing that I like a lot of them, but one of the greatest things that I love about this particular parable, as we're talking about wealth, not necessarily stewardship, but wealth in particular, he gave each one according to what they could handle. That should set some people free all by itself. Because just go back to what I read out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 just now, but so many people are in a rat race. They're not working for wealth, Mama. They're working for riches. He only gave them what they could handle. And then there was accountability after that. But again, this is not about the stewardship piece. He gave it to them. So evidently, in order for these three individuals to receive the five, the two, and the one, they had to be in position to receive the wealth.
Amen.
If they were not in position to receive the wealth, they never would have received it. It never could have been given to them.
Hello?
So here's the thing. Sorry about that. We had a technical difficulty. So the question that I asked was, why did Christ not even talk about the wealth? And what came to me was that maybe because wealth was so in line with the plan of God for his people, maybe because he understood that those who were wealthy and grasped the concept of wealth as they knew him wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't have the answer. I don't know why some people are wealthy and some people are not. But when I look at my life, oh, yeah. I know what God has done for us. I know what God is doing. I may not be able to handle the $1 million right now. So maybe that's why God hasn't put $1 million in my hand. There, I remember a time where I made a lot of money. And I thought about when I made a lot of money doing whatever I was doing, legally, of course. I remember that I said, you know what, five years ago, I couldn't handle all this money. God had to show me that I couldn't handle all that money. And that put me by itself, that put me in a whole different perspective, because I realized that I could not have handled that money at a previous time. So now I was able to understand how to handle all that he had put into my hand at that particular time. So that's the same thing that I throw out there for everybody who's listening. Are you positioned to receive wealth? Why would God just hold back? Just to hold back? Or is he holding back for a purpose? Well, have you asked God, Lord, look, And I don't understand what's going on with me right now. I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if that's your key, if that's your case. Lord, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm tired of I got a pretty good job, but I can't seem to ever go on vacation because I'm working all the time. What are you doing? Are you grabbing a hold to the keys? We sum up tonight on tonight's show. We sum up everything that we've talked about. We sum up the commitment on tonight's show. We sum up the compliance or the obedience in tonight's show. We sum up the covenant in tonight's show. All of those things are so relevant. So why in the world are so many people not living wealthy lives? Mama, let me go take me a water break, but if there's something that you want to have the opportunity to say, then I will say go ahead. If not, we can play some music and come back momentarily.
Okay, I'll speak. To answer your question, the reason why a lot of people are not wealthy is because they can't handle it. You know, I remember I just made a whole lot of money myself. And, you know, I just made sure my child had clothes and I had clothes, you know, got my hair done, just did the natural things that people do with money and buy things that I didn't need. So, see, I wasn't in a position to handle wealth, you know, but I was in a position to be rich, just store up a lot of stuff, you know. And I was thinking today, my husband goes to the, you know, to the food banks, and we get food, and we for the most part, we give what we don't need, which is quite a bit of it, out. Well, a situation happened, and this particular sister did something that she shouldn't have done. So she ended up with no food, you know. Her son is in the hospital. Her son it has cancer. So she's going through some things, and people are talking, you know, about her and everything. And I told my husband when I said, you know, give this to her. And I said, because I said, as long as we have food, she's going to have food no matter what, you know. And I think about what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus himself in his ministry, he never asked, well, what did you do? You know, he never displayed the attitude, well, if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't be in your position. He asked him, what can I do for you? You know, and even the lady, the king told the lady, you know, just give me the crumbs, you know. And because she was so persistent, she got the crumbs. So, and I think about that, mainly when I think about that, Jesus never hold anything over us, you know, because he always go forward. And he wants us to acknowledge that we have done wrong, and he wants us to really make that commitment that this is not what I'm going to do again. I'm going to ever do this again. I'm committing myself to this, you know, and I do have a covenant with God. And there are rules and regulations in God's kingdom. And although I may not want to do it all the time, I'm going to be compliant, you know. And although I may not want to do it, because I'm compliant, I'm still obedient to what God wants me to do. And I noticed that when our sisters get in trouble or something, people just want to talk, you know. And I think about something else that Jesus talked about when they wanted to stone the lady who they caught in adultery. And to me, I'm keeping it real, how did they know that? Why were they even there looking? You know what I'm saying? And so Jesus recognized that, because Jesus wanted her to live a godly life. That's, to me, that was his concern with her soul, you know. And he ministered to her, and as you all, some of you know the story, you know, he didn't even, he just said to them, who, the first person that, my goodness, let me get this right, that if anyone has not sinned here, then you throw the first stone, you know, and then he wrote, which we don't really know what he wrote. But just my summary of it is that Jesus looked beyond her faults, and God looks at the heart, and that we're going to be judged what's in our heart, because see, Jesus don't want a form and fashion. He wants us to be believe in Him and the covenant that He left for us. He wants us to be committed to whatever we do, you know. And be obedient, and if we can't be obedient, just comply, because you know God wants us to do it. Therefore, it puts us right in line with obedience anyway. And so, getting to the riches, getting to the wealth and the riches, I had never heard it be stated the way that Dr. Dunlap has stated it, about the difference between the wealth and the riches, because I thought they were the same. But they're not the same, because as I had said previously, that I said whether she's going to eat as long as we're eating. It doesn't matter what she did or didn't do. You know, Jesus said feed the hungry. And he did not say if they did X, Y, and Z, then you can't do that. So I just like to follow what he says, feed the hungry, and forget about everything else, and just pray for that child, pray that, you know, she'll do better. And so, as I'm looking at these two words here, I can see it is a difference in riches and wealth, because the riches, as it has already been said, is just storing up stuff. That's what I used to do. Store up stuff. But when you're wealthy, you don't do that. You don't have to make a scene. You don't have to say, "Oh, look at me," because you know that your mind is not on you. Your mind is, "Who can I help?" Because Jesus helped me, and He didn't give me this for myself. So I'm going to see who I can help. And I thought that was real good.
and the whole thing is, you have to have a mindset. You have to have a wealth mindset. What God did in Deuteronomy, and also in Leviticus and Numbers, He constantly talked to them through Moses, through Joshua. He communicated to them, "No, this is how I want y'all to. This is what I want for y'all. I'm taking you to a plant filled with milk and honey. I'm taking you to a place where you're going to have what you need. All I need you to do is this, 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 and this. Follow this, 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 and this." See, He didn't say, "I need you to follow this, 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 and this so that you can get stuff, so that you can have all this." Yeah, He gave some conditions and some promises, but everything focused back on the covenant and God keeping His word and making sure that they understood, look, some of y'all wasn't here. Some of y'all didn't get, some of y'all didn't come out of Egypt. And that becomes another part of the conversation. Some folk have not had the struggle. They don't remember. You know, one of God's biggest gripes with the children of Israel was, "After all I've done for you, and you still want to complain. After all I've done for you, you still want to trip out." God is constantly speaking to His people. And I just don't believe that the amount of wealthy people in this country, among God's people, should be silent, should be where we don't know. Don't believe that. I believe it shouldn't be a secret who the wealthy men and women of God are. I ain't talking about rich folk. I'm talking about the wealthy. And the wealthy men and women of God, we should know them by the fruit that they bear. Let me give this, and I'm not going to talk for a whole hour, I promise you. let me give this, and I'm going to hopefully get to bring a D in. If you go and look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappear. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Look at the NIV, it says, whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Compound interest is one of the greatest things that we have out there because of how it grows. And so I'm throwing that out there to us to say, look, if there are some people who are looking to be wealthy, let's not look for the wealth to come over the next 3 months. And you 50 years old and you've had some challenges, and say, through Christ, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. But Christ didn't say, I'm going to make you wealthy in 3 months. So there's an understanding that we want people to have. Yes, Christ, we are conquerors through Christ. We know this. I'm just proposing and putting it out there. I want people to actually grab a hold to these keys. And if you grab a hold to them, why would God have you fail? Why would he have you fail with something that he's given you? Now, I know we have choices, but I'm telling you something. Wealth is one of those things. It's just not. Look, everybody just doesn't have it. And everybody, let me be quiet. Adia, our illustrious Adia Sanders, one of the other co-hosts of this show, is morning. She's been saying, put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game, coach. Well, look, you were in the game. I'm done. Y'all may not hear from me for the rest of the day. I've been talking the last yeah, cousin.
Good evening, everybody. So it's always a pleasure. Like, I love what we talk about. I love the, you know, I love the richness that's in what we're talking about. It's just so much. What's the, like, cake, you know, it says it's very rich. And what we have is so rich. And I was just looking at, you know, just some of the comments that people were making on our Facebook page, you know, about how the topics that we have are relevant and they are practical. And anything that is practical, it can be applied. And I love the topic about wealth because so many times you hear people talk about, you know, they want money and they want to be able to have money. And, you know, some people are okay with being comfortable. And then there are some people that just want to, they want to be rich. And, you know, earlier today I was watching a young man, 30 years old, who has spent over $2,000 just changing his looks because he was not happy with how he looked. You know, you have people that have this, that have money in their hand and the things that they spend it on. You know, it's just like, I tell people, it's like putting baby powder on your hands and blowing it, and that's sometimes what people do, but they want to be wealthy, and they're not yet understanding, like you said earlier, it is a mindset. You have to make a decision, and if you make the decision that you want the keys to wealth, I think that that is half the battle. It's just making the decision. We can talk about it all day long, but if you make the decision that this is what you want, then we know how powerful the minds are. You will start to do those things that you need to do. Your outlook and your perspective on money and how you look at things would be is going to change. It's going to be different. Whereas you want to go and do these things, you know, you'll start to say, you know what, it really isn't worth it. And I love Proverbs 13 and 11 and the New Living Translation. I love what the NIV version says. You know, you got to work hard. And a lot of times people want something for nothing. They're not willing to put the time in. You know, if you blink and think that, you know, after you blink, just because you said you want to be wealthy, that it's going to happen. can blink five more times after that, and it's probably still not going to happen because it takes hard work. And I like what you said, little by little, living here in El Paso, where it's predominantly Hispanic, I was asking, how do you say little by little? And it's poco a poco. And I love that word, and I tell people, you know, little by little, you can have whatever it is that you want, but sometimes it's going to be little by little, which means that you're going to have to put the work in. You know, I'm recovering from surgery, and I can say I know that I'm going to, you know, fully recover. I'll be able to walk on two legs instead of four with some crutches, but it is going to be poco a poco. Little by little, but there are some things that I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to do physical therapy. I'm going to have to, you know, flex my foot like my surgeon told me to do. I'm going to have to do things, and so there's a plan that has to be put in place. And so I would tell people, you know, we've given you the keys to wealth, and I love relationships. You know, that is because you're not alone. And in a relationship, you are not alone. There has to be another person there that is with you. And I just sent my best friend an email today. It was somewhere in Ecclesiastes, and it was talking about a friend. And it was just saying, you know, that when you have a friend, you know, they are there with you. You know, if you are with a friend and y'all get lost in the woods and nighttime falls and the temperature drops, if you are by yourself, you have no one there with you to keep you warm, but at least if you have a friend that is going along with you, somebody that you trust to go along this journey with you, then you are there together to stay warm. If you, you know, somebody wants to confront you about something, you have somebody that is there. So relationships are important. Having a relationship with God, getting the wisdom, the godly wisdom that he has for us is so important. And what I like, because we did come out of Ecclesiastes a couple of months ago. I want to say it was chapter 3. It was talking about a time. There's a time for mm-hmm. everything. But I like in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, and I just want to read this just to kind of put it all in perspective when you're talking about wealth. It says, you know, those who mm-hmm. love money will never have enough. They'll never be satisfied. It says, how meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. And so we got to understand that wealth is not going to bring you the happiness that you're looking for. But when you have relationship with wealth, you have something else where your foundation is built off of. It's not just about an emotion. It's not just about, I have this wealth, but what else do you have with it? Now that you have all of this, you know, you have this wealth and you have this money that is just being, that can be stretched and it is always turning over, what else is there? And so with wealth, one of the keys is relationships, being committed. You know, we talked about being the obedience, which is a big one. You know, it takes you having to work with God. It takes you having to work with other people. And I like the other part where it says, you know, the more you have, the more people come to you to spend it, to come help you spend it.
That's right.
And so what is the wealth if we're not going to have the obedience with it? What is the wealth if we're not in relationship with people that have our best interest at hand? What is the wealth if we don't even have the keys? Like, you don't even have the keys to unlock the door of wealth. And so I think ending, you know, by closing out, you know, this series of the keys to wealth with relationship is really like the cherry and the sprinkles and the caramel and, you know, the little designs and stuff. That is really it is everything on top, what is needed. And it says, you know, people who work hard, this is verse 12, people who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. And, you know, Aunt Mary talked about that, you know, she didn't know what the difference was in wealth and rich. Well, it tells you right here in the Word of God, it says, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. Because they're always trying to figure out how I'm going to get some more money. But when you have the keys to wealth, you understand that that money is not just for today. It is going into another generation. It is going into another generation. It stretches. It lives beyond the person that first began to accumulate the wealth. when you have the wisdom that God gives us on how to get that wealth, he also will give you wisdom on how to keep it. And so when we hear about families, I think about wealth, you know, being more than finance. I hear about, you know, families that have land that's been in their family for generations. They understand that what they have is wealth, because if they sell it, what that money is worth, they'll never be able to get it if they sell it. That is wealth. Knowing what you have in your hand has a dollar amount to it that you won't just give it away. That's wealth. Something that is living beyond the person that first got it. Whether it's a half acre or 100 acres. And so I think about so much with, you know, the relationship part. Somebody that is walking alongside you. Somebody that has a vested interest in you. And I just think when I think about relationship, I think about first my relationship with people. Because when you look at the Word of God, and I don't know, I know it's in the New Testament, it says, how can you say you love God whom you've never seen, but hate your brother who's right here on the earth? So God is telling us, look here, you can say you love me, but if you don't love the people that's down there on the earth that you got to live with, because we don't have a choice, can't go live on Mars, you can't
right.
love them, how can you have a relationship with me? So we got to be able to have relationships with people and not allow fear or, you know, always the skepticism. And, you know, you do got to weed people out because they don't have your best interest. But knowing that a relationship here, you know, with the people that you see every day that have your best interest at heart is you have to have it. It is needed. It's like needing oxygen. They've done studies with children that did not get touched. Where the nurses just gave them a bottle. Studies have shown that you got to have relationships with people or you literally die. I guess it could be called broken heart. I don't know what they call it, but I've read it in psychology books on studies that have been done with babies and relationships. It is needed in our lives. And so if we want to have relationships, if we want to thrive, you know, if we want to seal the deal, you know, with wealth, you know, you got to be willing to reach out and have that team that's on your side. You know, even look when you look at, you know, NFL players, like they're on the court, but I guarantee they probably have a relationship with one another. They have a relationship. And so I just think, you know, that it's key. And everything that we've talked about is practical. It's things that we can do, literally, things that we can sit down with a piece of pen, with a pen and a piece of paper and write down, I want to get keys to wealth. Am I obedient?
Mm-hmm.
I need to work on that. These are, I mean, you can turn these into questions.
That's right.
These are things that you can teach your children. Do I have relationships? Do I keep relationships? Are relationships even important to me? Am I committed? And be honest with yourself and begin to see the areas that you need to work on. And like you were saying earlier, Nate, you know, hey, if God wants to give you $1 million, but you're not committed, that might be the reason that you can't get it, because you're not committed. If you don't know how to have healthy relationships with people, can you really be entrusted with a large sum of money? If somebody willed some land or a house to you, can you be entrusted that you're going to do the right thing and add your siblings' names on it? Or would you be selfish? And so we can turn all of these topics and all of the, you know, the titles that we've had into question to really look within ourselves. Am I obedient? Am I committed? Am I compliant? Am I trustworthy? Good, healthy relationship? Or do people always have to call me and see how I'm doing? Do I keep up mess? Am I a drama king or queen? Because if you don't have these keys, which I think are just foundational, these are like basic skills, then we have to be honest with ourselves. Adia has to be honest with herself that maybe right now, you can't get what you really are supposed to have because there's some areas in your life, Adia, that you need to work on. And the first key is let me be able to admit it. With the money that I make, do I pay my bills on time? We want to be wealthy, but can you pay the bill on time? If you can't pay your bill on time when the creditor calls, do you hit the decline button on your cell phone and not answer the phone talking about, I don't know who that is? Or do you pick up the phone and have integrity to show that you can be faithful even though you're not in a financially good position to say, you know what, I know I owe y'all money and I can't give you what you, I can't give you the whole thing and I take responsibility for what I've done. I can't give you $50, but I can give you $25.
And
that's
keep right.
your word. Be committed to your word and keep it. Will you allow somebody that has more wisdom to invest in you and to train and to develop you and be honest with you to say, nah, you jacked up from the floor up and I don't want you to stay here and to hold you accountable? And so I think everything that we've talked about for the past, I don't know how many Thursdays, has been relevant. It is needed. It is a good foundation to begin to build upon, and I am so excited because this series has blessed me. It has blessed me so much to where I was telling John, you know, I don't want DirecTV no more. I don't want it. Y'all heard my house phone ringing. I don't want it no more. What things can I go without to really reach the goal, and why do I want the wealth? Do I have a future? Are there people waiting for me that I can assist? Can I afford to just loan somebody $200 and not have to ask for it back because I know they can't afford to give it back to me? And so those are the things that I think about with wealth, asking myself those hard questions and being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been a blessing, Nate, and I, Mary, it really has. Really
has. I'm just grateful that God leads us here at the PRF table and the way that God leads us. You know, it would be good if, in my mind, it would be good if we could plan our series for the whole year, right? That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
That would take some off. That would kind of have us in a place where we say, well, you know what? Well, we don't have to do certain things because we already know what we're going to do. But when you're listening for the ear, listening for the word of God, when you have your ear to, you know, it's kind of like when you put your ear to the wall to hear what mommy in next door. You know, when fussing, you put your ear to get close to what God is saying. It changes up things. So I'm telling you, this series didn't come because this is what we wanted to talk about. It was what we saw the need to talk about and how God directed us. You know, this. If I had to say what the final key is, Adia, you hit on it. Mute your mics if you can for just a few moments. The final key is relationship. That's the final key to wealth. Now, what relationship are we talking about? We've tiptoed on it. We've kind of sprinkled it a little bit on the conversation tonight, but it's real simple. When we take Proverbs, when we take Ecclesiastes and the wisdom from that, Proverbs talks about wealth so much. So I would say if we really want to be wealthy, let's find out what the wisdom of Proverbs, what she is saying about riches and wealth. But even more so than that, when we talk about Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and we're talking about the wisdom that comes from that wisdom that came from God, we're talking about how do we take that and incorporate that with the relationship. The relationships is really twofold. It's the relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters. Now, I'm really being straight intentional when I say the relationship that we have with God. I am really clearly talking about the relationship that we have with God through Christ. See, when God sent Christ back on the scene, or sent Christ on the scene, it was to reconnect. It was to reestablish the relationship that was lost from Adam. And all the periods after that, where God was saying, look, I need y'all to be focused on me. So man has been given time and time and time again, even after Christ, we've been given time and time and time again to get connected back with God. And so this relationship with God is key, but it's not void of the relationship that we have with our brothers and our sisters. It's really clear to me. If you're sitting there and you're saying, look at what the Lord, that, you know, it's a song, look at what the Lord has done, right? Dear, you can sing it better than I can. If you look at what the Lord has done for you, then I'm going to say emphatically, you ain't wealthy. Because all you're doing is dealing with the one, the vertical of the relationship. But when you get to the place in your life when you say, look at what the Lord has done for me so that I can do this, that, and the other for somebody else, and not just for somebody else, for that homeless, excuse me, for that person who is unsheltered, for that person who doesn't have this, for this person who doesn't have that. Here's how you know that you are wealthy. When you have a Matthew 25 mindset, when you have a Matthew 25 mindset, then and only then, I'm saying, just my personal point opinion, then you can say that you are wealthy. And I'm talking about you have that mindset, but you're actively walking that thing out. Then I believe, my brother and my sister, you can say that you're wealthy. And not just doing it for the tax write-offs, not just doing it so somebody can see. Jesus talked about the Pharisees doing that kind of foolishness, so we ain't talking about that. But when you are able to live your day, live your life day in and day out, cousin, and it's all about serving God and serving people, and you have resources that God has allowed you to have, whether it's possessions, resources, or finances, oh, yeah, I have no problem being able to look at you saying, man, that cat right there is wealthy, without seeing your bank account. It don't got nothing to do with, you can be a millionaire and not be wealthy. So sum up all that we talked about this night, everything we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks, the covenant, the commitment, the compliance, sum all of that up. And I want to see how many people will actually be able to be bold enough to say, yeah, I know I'm wealthy. But if you know you're wealthy, how do we know that you're wealthy? What are you doing? So that's it. Adia, that's it. I like how what Paul says. I thought I was done, but I got to say this. One of the things that Paul says is, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. What he's saying in simple terms is, don't be concerned about your own good, but be concerned about the good of others. Don't seek what you can get what you can get for yourself, but seek what can be there for others. If God has truly blessed you, it should be real clear about you blessing somebody else. Adia, Mama, I'm I'm done for tonight. This hour has gone by. Oh my goodness, it's gone by so quick. But we're thankful. We're thankful for everybody who has wrote it out. And I'm gonna tell you, some people may be shocked. Like, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all heard me. Christianity's not hard. Look, we got to make things simple. We have to make the messages simple. It's not that complex. All that we do day in and day out, it should be about serving God and serving man. We should wake up with that in our minds. How am I going to serve you today, God? How am I going to serve your fellow man today? And then when those opportunities come, you serve them. I'm done. I'm done. Look, we're going to get started next week with a new series. This was 5 weeks in this month. Next month, we only have four. And so we're going to be talking from more from this series of the PRF curriculum of planning and saving our next-door neighbors. We're going to be talking more on the planning side. Adia has brought some things to light for us that we need to deal with. And so we're going to deal with that. We don't know if we're going to deal with it just in the month of April or we're going to go April and May. But here's one thing I said at the first show for this month in March. I said we're going to deal with this wealth because we know that's what God wants us to deal with. But when we're done, we're done. So I can just tell you, my brothers, I can tell you, my sisters, we're done with this wealth conversation. If you did not catch any or all of the shows, I would love for you to go back and really go back and listen to all of these so that God can truly, truly speak to you. As a side note, or an additional note, we really want to thank a couple people that have really joined us here with what we're doing here with this PRF Teacher Ministry. We have so many things that have been going on, and maybe I'll wait until next month. But if you go to our website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org, the company that did our website is Happy Life Media Group, and I'll mention them earlier in the show next month. But Happy Life Media Group is ran by a brother by the name of Antonio Christie, and this brother is awesome. So when you go to our website, you'll be able to see his logo on our website, and you'll be able to say, okay, this brother knows what he's doing. So if there's anybody out there that is listening or you know of some websites that need some help and need some attention, they need a better logo, such as one looks like the PRF logo, then please, you can get to him through our website. Happy Life Media Group is the name of the company, and give your support. What this brother does is phenomenal. This is all that this brother does is build websites and host websites and does the branding, just like he did for us. That's what he does to earn a living and also serve the body of Christ. And so we want to just uplift his talents, uplift the gift that God has given him in this particular area, because I promise you, there are some people that will take your money to build a website or to get a brand. And it's not just about it being reasonable, but when you got the Spirit of God working behind the scenes to put together something that you're going to put before the world, that's somebody that you want. So with that, Adia, if you had anything else, you know, please let me know. But if not, we can get ready to sign off for this item.
I did. I just wanted to close with this, just really short. Because, again, like I said, you know, just really touching, and I decided to do some reading. But I just wanted to close, and these are my closing comments. I didn't write them. They're in the Bible. And it's just Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 7 and 8. It says, "Then I return and saw vanity. This is Solomon talking. Under the sun, there is one alone without companion." Again, no one's there, talking about relationships. "He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asks, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of goods?' This is also vanity and a grave misfortune." So again, basically what this is saying, to walk alone, to not have a relationship with other people, the Bible says it's a grave misfortune that you are missing out. And so it is important in having relationships with people that are healthy, with people who care about you and are going to support you and want to see you reach whatever goals and dreams that you have for yourself. And so I just encourage you, if you are not a big people person, that you understand how important it is to be in relationship, one, with God, so that you can be in relationship with other people. He will teach you how to be in relationship with people because he loves us. He loved us first before we ever knew how to love anybody else, to include ourselves. And so those are my comments on tonight. Again, another great series. I think we knocked this one out of the park, and I hope that someone was blessed. I certainly was. If nobody says amen, I'm saying amen because I was blessed beyond measure. And I thank you so much just for the positive dialogue and the foundation that was built, the seeds that were planted through every series. And that's all that I have. Everybody have a good night from Adia.
All right. And let me say this as we close. I'm not going to bring any further comments, just an announcement as well. March was wide open for us here at the PRF Teaching Ministry. If you go to our website, prfministry.org, and just look at the calendar, look under the calendar, and you'll see what has been going on with PRF just in the month of March alone. And April is becoming more and more busy, but busy in a good way. So we're doing a lot of teaching in addition to the PRF table radio show that you're listening to tonight. And we also have a couple of resources that are up there that we've uploaded. So we want you to kind of go on there, check out the resources, fill out some of those surveys, those assessments. God has really been opening up some doors for us here in this ministry over the last month or so. And we want to get the opportunity to be able to minister with you, not just here on the radio, but also in live one-on-one sessions with your group, with your church, with your community. So reach out to us. Visit us also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRFPRF. And so with that, until next week, God bless you. We love you. We thank everybody for listening because if it wasn't for y'all, we would just be talking to ourselves. So with that, God bless you, and it's all about love.